The 100 Years' War, the Duguesclin period, Duke of Anjou, Italian Adventure, Part 1. Well, while England is playing in Spain, the French have decided that they're going to do a little adventure in Italy. At almost the same moment, the attention of the French government was fixed upon the personal venture of another royal uncle, which had even less to do with French interests than the succession of Castile had to do with English ones. The adoption of the Duke of Anjou as heir to the Kingdom of Naples had been intended to secure Queen Jeanne on her throne in the event it destroyed her. Urban VI had learned about the Queen's negotiations with the Duke in March of 1380 from a disaffected ally. On May the 11th, 1380, he had purported to depose her and declare her throne vacant. A year later, he patched up a squalid deal with Charles of Durazzo. In return for the grant of the Neapolitan crown, Charles promised to conquer it and then cede large parts of its territory to the Pope's worthless nephew. Urban, for his part, raided the treasury of the Roman churches to raise the money needed to pay Charles's troops and offer them indulgences of a crusade. On June the 2nd, 1381, Charles of Durazzo was crowned in the old Basilica of St. Peter's in Rome before an audience consisting largely of Magyar soldiers. Jeanne dispatched a messenger to France with a desperate appeal to Louis of Anjou to rescue her. She invoked the military clauses of their agreement of the previous years. As an additional inducement, she offered to share the government of her domains with Louis in her lifetime. But events moved too fast for either Jeanne or Louis. On June the 8th, 1381, Charles marched out of Rome with about 7,000 Magyars and some 1,000 soldiers of fortune to take possession of his new kingdom. The Queen's army, such as they were, tried to halt his advance at the border, but they were swept aside. On the evening of July the 16th, Charles of Durazzo entered Naples. The inhabitants refused to defend the capital. Jeanne fled with her closest supporters to the protection of the Castle de Nuevo. The castle was powerfully fortified, but it had not been filled with supplies for a siege. After 5 weeks, it became clear it could hold out no longer. Jeanne was forced to enter into a conditional surrender. She was given just 5 days to organize a relief force. Her husband, Otto of Brunswick, made a valiant attempt to relieve her in time, but on August the 24th, he was routed beneath the walls of the Castle de San Elmo and captured. At the beginning of September 1381, Charles took possession of Castle Nuevo, and the Queen became his prisoner. These events were the prelude to a sustained campaign of lobbying by Jeanne's partisans in France. Her Provençal subjects undertook to support a French expedition to Italy with money and men. From Avignon, Clement VII ceaselessly pressed the French court to intervene. He also greatly enlarged his own financial commitment, offering to place substantially the whole of the revenues of the Apostolic Chamber and the taxes levied on the French Church at Louis's disposal. Meanwhile, Jeanne's agent in Avignon supplied a steady stream of reassuring but false reports that the inhabitants of the Neapolitan kingdom and most of the states of Italy would support an Anvian invasion. These reports, amplified by Clement's agents in Paris, had a considerable impact on the decision-makers at the French court. On January the 4th and the 5th, 1382, there was a long and difficult session of the French Royal Council at the Castle de Vincennes. All the royal princes were there apart from the Duke of Berry. So were the king's counselors, Constable Olivier de Clisson, the Lord of Couche, and some of the government's most experienced soldiers and diplomats. A delegation of 5 prominent members of the papal court hovered between the council room and the antechambers of the palace. By a majority and with expressed misgivings about the difficulty of the undertaking, the council gave as their opinion that Louis of Anjou was bound to go and aid the Queen of Naples. He had already committed himself too far to withdraw with honor now. They advised that an expeditionary force should be prepared as rapidly as possible. Some of Louis's advisors urged caution, but the reservations were brushed aside. On January the 7th, 1382, the Duke of Anjou resolved to conquer Naples and rescue its queen from her prison. The decision was announced to the king and his council on the following day. The middle of February, 1382, Louis left Paris for Avignon. 3 weeks later, in the consistory hall of the papal palace, he swore before the assembled court of Clement VII that he would not leave the papal city until time came for him to take the road to Italy. Louis of Anjou marched to the Alps from the papal city of Carpentras in the middle of June 1382. Initially, his army comprised some 12,000 mounted men. The council, although they had urged the expedition upon the duke, forbade the king's subject to join it for fear of denuding the country in the face of English threats. As a result, most of Louis's army had been recruited from the Francophone territories of the empire east of the Rhone River. Most were hired by his Italian allies. He was also joined by most of the surviving Gascon and Breton companies in Italy, including the band of Bertrand de Salé, and the Italian and German companies operating in the papal state in Jeannin's name. With these accessions of strength, Louis commanded one of the largest armies gathered together in the 14th century. About 60,000 mounted men by the time he reached the marches of the papal state, according to his own estimation. His numbers, he wrote to the city of Marseille, increased daily as men came into his camp, like vultures gathering around the corpse. It was a curious phrase to use, and as it turned out, a prophetic one. The Anvain invasion was a disaster for all the main protagonists. It was a death sentence for Queen Jeannine. She had been held in a remote castle of Moro in the Apennines ever since the Duke of Anjou's preparations became known in Italy. There, at the end of July 1382, she was smothered by her jailers on the order of Charles of Durazzo. The body was brought back to Naples to be exposed in the ghastly candlelit gloom of the convent church of Santa Chiara as Louis pressed on towards his southern kingdom. There was little armed resistance, but the duke encountered growing difficulty in feeding his immense host. He was obliged to divide his forces in order to ease the supply problems. Less than a third of the men followed him into the Neapolitan territory at the end of September of 1382. Charles of Durazzo fought a skillful rearguard action. He was supported by English routier Captain Sir John Hawkwood, with a company of more than 2,000 mercenaries. Heavily outnumbered, they adopted much the same tactics as the French had in the face of the English invasion of 1373 and 1380. They wasted the earth in front of the enemy, harassed his flanks at every turn, and persistently refused the battle. At the end of the year, most of Louis's troops had deserted him. The rest were sick and starving and unpaid. Louis decided that his great venture had failed. Writing from Benvenuto, where he had established his winter quarters, he called on the French council to send funds urgently. Failing them, let them at least find some excuse to recall him for service in France so that he could withdraw without disgrace. The council never received his plea. The messenger was intercepted and the letter delivered instead to Urban VI. In the new year, Louis approached Charles Durazzo to ask for terms. According to the reports reaching Rome, he was ready to abandon his claim to the Neapolitan kingdom in return for Provence and safe conduct out of Italy. So that was a little troublesome, but there's still other parts of this that we'll be looking at next time. So although the English are kind of bogged down in Portugal, the French are bogged down in Italy. Now the sources for this, The Hundred Years' War, The Chronicles by Froissart, The Hundred Years' War by Perrois, The Hundred Years' War by Nylans, and The Hundred Years' War, The House Divided, Volume 3 by Sumption. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.